Today's reading is from Matthew 2. The Magi visits the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of the king Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all his chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd my people in Israel. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presents him was gifted of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route."
Well, good morning. This is, in case you weren't aware, an all-age service, which means that the children aren't going out there staying in, which may mean that if you're on the floor and you wish to reconsider, you can, but if you don't, that's fine. Now, I'm going to give you a few things that are a million times, magnified, thank you, there you go, right? And because we're thinking about focus, and I'd like you to see if you can guess what you think they are. They're all things from your house, probably in your very home, some of which you've used this morning, some of which I hope you've used this morning, so here we go. I have this morning, though, because it's an all-age, come with a costume, because we are thinking about the wise men, and we're thinking about Epiphany. And so I walked out the door about 7 o'clock this morning, and I've got myself a costume for a wise man. And you can probably spot at some point where perhaps this went not so well for me. Can you spot? No, this is definitely a wise man outfit. No, this is definitely what wise men wear. Is that true? This is my dressing gown. Is this what a wise man wears? Okay, good, right? Turn to the person next to you. What does a wise man look like then? So I imagine that a bit like me this morning, you were like, "I haven't got a clue what a wise man looks like." If you look at Matthew's account, he doesn't really give us many clues. And it's a bit weird, really, actually, when you look at the story. I've always thought about them a little bit like sort of Christians, or people who are going to become Christians. But actually, when you look at the account, that doesn't make a lot of sense. These guys, for a start, were magi. Now, it wouldn't take you long to guess what word in English we get from magi, which is magic. Brilliant. Magic. And so these were guys who looked at the stars to try and predict the future. Now, probably all of us know that Christians and Jews don't agree with trying to predict the future. They would both say that God's got the future in his hands and that we trust him. And so it's really odd that these guys were looking at stars at all. It's also weird that they came from the east. They came from a country that didn't even follow the same God. And we might ask, well, how on earth did they know to look for this king among the Jews if they weren't Jews themselves? Perhaps they'd heard some predictions. Perhaps when the Jews had been in Babylon, that they had heard and shared a little bit about what their God was like and who they were hoping was going to come. And whenever I've looked at this story, I've kind of assumed that the wise men knew a lot. But the more I look at it, the more I think I don't think they did. For a start, they go to the wrong city. They go and talk to Herod. They don't go to Bethlehem, which is where the king was going to be born. So let me give you an idea. Imagine, if you will, that the wise men have come not to a stable but to a house, because they arrived after Jesus' birth, and clearly Jesus would not have stayed in a stable with Mary and Joseph. They moved to a house. But imagine that Joseph and Mary are busy. Imagine that they'd been left by the wise men, and the wise men on the way out the door meet a Jew who really knew their predictions. And perhaps this is what their conversation might have gone like. So, wise men, how did it go? Did you find what you were looking for? Well, yes, actually. We found baby Jesus born in Bethlehem. But do you know why that matters? Why is that important? It's amazing. Because long ago, there was an ancient prophecy about Bethlehem. Micah heard from God that from Bethlehem would be a ruler from ancient times who would shepherd all Israel in the strength of the Lord. He would be great to the ends of the earth and would be their peace. And the wise men might have said, wow, that's amazing. We had no idea that the city mattered at all. We had no idea that Bethlehem was going to be so important. And perhaps the Jew would have turned to him and said, but, well, did you bring any presents? Did you bring anything with you? Well, yes, we bought gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are the three gifts that we brought. And the Jewish person might have said, well, those are weird gifts, but did you know why they're so important? Because in Isaiah chapter 60, 700 years before, Isaiah had predicted that God would come to earth, and that when he came to earth, all the people would say, wow, the light of God come on the earth. And they would have brought presents, and you'll never guess what presents they would bring. Gold and frankincense, already predicted miles beforehand. And the wise men, I don't think, would have known about any of that. And then we get to the slightly difficult issue at a family service, where the wise men went and they met Mary and Joseph, and they said to Joseph, oh, the baby looks a lot like you. And Joseph might have said, well, that's a bit odd that he looks like me, because I had nothing to do with this. Mary had never... And perhaps the Jews would have said, wow, that's amazing. Did you know that you've arrived in Bethlehem, the city where this amazing ruler was going to come from? Did you know that you've brought gifts that were the gifts for God come to earth? Did you know that long ago it was predicted that the Savior, that Jesus, that the rescuer's mother wouldn't have conceived him naturally? Did you know any of that stuff? And I imagine the wise men would have had to have said, well, no, we didn't. But one thing we did know, that he was going to be an amazing king and that we should bow the knee to him. So I hope you've got someone near you who can help you, because I want to just ask you three questions that perhaps you might want to think about with somebody else. The first question is this. When the wise men went and found Jesus and bowed the knee, they didn't know much, but they knew enough to bow down and worship. And perhaps you might ask someone near you, what was it like the first time that you realized that Jesus was who he said? The first time that you invited God into your life, what was that like? So let me just give you a minute, maybe have a little chat. What was it like? What was that? What did you already know that helped you to go yes to Jesus? Okay, you ready for the second question? So here's the second one. Epiphany was when the wise men realized who Jesus was. But certainly for me, I've had lots of epiphanies, lots of moments when I've gone, I knew enough to bow the knee to Jesus then, but now, wow, I've realized something else that's true about God. So, for example, I never understood grace until about 6 years into being a Christian. I never really understood that I could not earn God's love. And then there were other times when I just was wowed by the holiness of God, the bigness of God. So I had these other sort of epiphanies, moments where you just understood something that you'd never got before. So maybe have a little ask your person next to you, what is it? What was your epiphanies? What have the times been when you've gone, wow, I've got an understanding of something about God that I hadn't got before? And having thought about that, I just wonder what, as you approach this year, what is it that you think God would say to each of us, young or old or somewhere in the middle, this is the next step for you in your journey of faith? What do you think is the next bit? And I don't need you to talk to him about it, but maybe just have a think. What's the next step? Is it that you grab one of the books that me and John have put on the bookshelf and go, I'll just take that away and have a read of it and see if that helps me to think about faith? Is it something else that God would say, that's the next step for you in your journey of faith? So let's just take a moment to just think. You don't necessarily need to talk to anyone else about it. The wise men, they brought gifts, didn't they? They brought their worship, the things that they were so grateful to God for. And so I've dug baby Jesus in his crib back out of the storeroom. He was thought he was going to be retired for another 12 months, but I brought him back out again for this Sunday. Because this is the moment, isn't it, when the wise men realized a bit of who this person was. And so if you've got a block, one of these, from one of our Christmas services, you might like to come and bring it up and put it near here as a sign of your worship, your love of God. And if you haven't got a block, you are very well to come and take a cake, a post-it. And you might want to send your children up or whatever to come and take one. And just to write on it something that you think, God, I am so grateful for, whatever. So if you'd like to come and help yourself, there's lots of pens. Come and put your blocks up. Come and get yourself one of these. And just jot on it something that you think, wow, I'm really grateful to God for that. And if you're not coming out, you might just wonder where you are. Just say thank you to God for something that happened in 2019, or maybe something that happened before then. So perhaps I can pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that we have prayed for in our hearts and all that we've written on these papers and the boxes. Lord, we give you our worship. Thank you that you have given us epiphany, that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we pray that you would lead us forwards in our lives to an ever-growing knowledge and love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the other thing that we are doing today, as well as celebrating Epiphany, the journey of the wise men, is thinking about our journey as a church. Now, if you look on the map there, towards the north, you will see that we've got Old Sarum Primary School. And if we go one more slide, or I could do it. No, you could do it. One more slide. We haven't got that magic. We might do. Anyway, we have got Old Sarum and Longhedge, two estates that are up that way. If you haven't been there, go over the hill, and then either way you go, those are the two big estates. And they were put into our parish a little while ago. And so for the last 3.5 or so years, Will and Sophie have been up there doing some amazing work with their team. And the aim has been to have a house where gradually they could get to know people in the community, to journey with them, to help them to explore faith. But we've kind of reached a stage when we think the team that we've had up there has done an amazing job. They really have. But it's time for us to kind of go bigger, if you like. If you think about your journey to this church, probably you knew someone who came here. If there isn't a church that gather, it's really hard to do that. And so that's our next step. And I hope that's why quite a lot of you are here today, thinking about Hope Church, that we're going to start meeting together up there, old Sarum and Long Hedge, in a way that is light. Will and Sophie have talked quite a lot about being salt so far, working in their community, but now time to be light, somewhere that it would be really easy for people to come to and to find out about Jesus. So Will and Sophie, if you'd like to come up. I think this is such an exciting day for our church, to be able to plant a new church, to start something that's going to grow and thrive and flourish is just amazing. So Will is going to share a little bit more about.
Yeah, we're hugely, hugely excited. It's been a sort of fairly long journey for us to get to this point. But the encouraging thing and the exciting thing that this journey has been with God for many, many years before we started dreaming about Hope Church and the possibilities and the hopes that we have for the estates. I guess for us, thinking a little bit about what we've been thinking about today, about the wise men, we're like similar to them. We're about to embark on this journey, and there's excitement mixed in with fears, risks involved, and we feel like we're being led and prompted. We've been nudged by God to go on this journey. But I was thinking just then that the one difference, or one of the main differences, aside from the camels and the astronomy and all of that, is that they were going to find Jesus, but we have the privilege this side of history in that we've found Jesus. And so our journey is about sharing Jesus. And so as Hope Church, we want to be doing that exactly, sharing Jesus with one another, sharing Jesus with our communities and our neighbors, because we passionately, passionately believe. I've been thinking lots and praying lots and lots and lots about this, that the hope of our city, our nation, and our world lies in the local church. Not in a political election, not in people of power, influence, or with finances, but it's within the local church, and God has chosen the local church to work in and through, to bring the good news, to bring salvation and redemption to communities, to nations. And we, sounds great, we just want to be part of that. We want to be faithful to that and what God is calling us to do. We have pictures of all of that, of salvation and redemption. We want to see people coming to faith in Jesus. We want to see people who are hurting finding healing. We want to see justice and reconciliation for those that are forgotten and oppressed. We want to see young people excited about coming to know Jesus. We want to see community across generations. We want to be a part of a church that seeks the welfare of its city. All of that is, I guess, lies before us, and we're passionate and excited to work and join in with God and all that he's got planned for us. But my first just prayer request, and I'll leave it with this, is for all of us as Hope Church, this is quite a big step, particularly for those that are leaving St. Francis, have been here for many, many years. It's a huge step of faith. But as we make that step of faith, I'm struck that the only things that really last or endure are things with people that are desperate and hungry for Jesus. And so initially, for the first few months before we launch in March, we're just going to spend some time with one another sharing Jesus and trying to sort of satisfy and work in that insatiable hunger and bottomless hunger for Jesus. Because out of that, everything else will spill out of that, we hope. So we want to be a beacon of all of that. We want to be a beacon of hope and redemption and all of that we thought about this morning up on those estates and in our communities. But please do pray for us, because it's a big journey, and we're hugely, hugely excited for what's ahead.
Thank you. Epiphany is also which means revelation. It's a celebration of people who were unlikely. They were not Jews coming to know the Jewish God. And so today is about people who would say, I'd never go to church, finding God in a new venue. And so we've come to the commissioning, and rather than inviting people to the front, I wonder, could we ask everyone who's a member or going to become a member of Hope Church and know that that's where their calling is, just to stand in the central aisle, because we're, as a church, going to bless you and pray for you. So if you want to be up and down the church, and those, we want lots of you not to go. We want lots of you to stay. Whether you're going or staying, we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be missional, to be sharing Jesus with the people we're with. And this is just another expression of sharing that faith. Okie dokie. Actually, I'm going to ask, could you all stand up? Those who are staying at St. Francis, would you all stand? And hopefully, well, perhaps have a look at these people and think, yeah, they need prayer, and in a nice way, let's look at them. And so we want to ask God's blessing on you, and you'll find these words on the screen of the commissioning. So first of all, to members of St. Francis. People of God, Christ invites each of us to be faithful disciples, to faithful discipleship and service. Though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and we are all called to different ministries, but the same function as we seek to live God's love. As we commission these people today, will you, members of St. Francis, with them as disciples of Christ, renew your commitment to the loving service of God, of one another, and of all people? We will. And these people have been called to the work of Hope Church in this parish. Will you, as the people of God here in this place, support and pray for them in this ministry? With the help of God, we will. And now I invite members of St. Francis to sit down, and questions for those of the church plant team of Hope Church. In the beginning, God spoke into darkness and there was light. God continues to bring life and light through his powerful word. One sows and another waters, but it is God who brings the growth. We rejoice in all that God has been doing in and amongst you. God has called each of you for such a time as this to plant Hope Church. And so I ask you, members of Hope Church, will you seek to develop the faith, gifts, and skills God has given you as you share in Christ's mission and ministry as part of Hope Church? Will you love your neighbours and serve your communities, and always being eager to do what is good?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you seek to be good news people, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with compassion and conviction, always prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you commit to do this work prayerfully and in a spirit of mutual respect and collaboration with those who lead ministry in this place?
With the help of God, we will.
This is now your family. Will you always seek to love one another as Christ has loved you, to do good and encourage your brothers and sisters as they journey to be made more like Christ? Jesus calls us to go into all the world, to be his disciples and make new disciples of Christ. As you begin this journey to be a family of disciples on mission for Christ, we commit to praying for and supporting you. And so, Hope Church, would you pray or commit? And we,
in fellowship with all God's people, promise before God to faithfully fulfill the responsibilities entrusted to us, to work together, to grow in faith, and to make Christ known.
And would you all stretch out a hand of blessing to those who are standing? From your heart, bless these good people. We commission you as Hope Church in this parish. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may God grant you grace, wisdom, and joy as you live out this calling. And so, eternal God, in your love, you pour out the gifts of your Spirit for the service of the gospel. Look now on your servants at Hope Church, that they may make your grace and glory known in Old Sarum, Long Hedge, and their surrounding communities. And may Christ, who came among us not to be served but to serve, be your inspiration in all that you say and do. And everyone agreed and said, Amen. Amen. So let's show our congratulations to them. We bless you. So do take your places. We're going to pray in a moment, but Matt, I know, had prepared some great slides. Are the slides, Brian, available to see? Because I saw them earlier and I thought they were worth it. Just say no if it's a no. That's a no. Well, you should come to 9:30. No. Perhaps later if it happens. We're going to pray, and I'm going to just invite you to think of what does it say about the wise men that when they got to Jesus, it said they what? They opened their treasures, gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And I just want to think of that word, open, and ask, we're going to have three different categories of prayer. Are we being open to God, giving him the best we have like they did? Are we open to one another in our fellowship, whether it's here or at Hope Church? And are we open to our community and what God is calling us to do there? So first of all, I want you all to pray. And you can pray silently or aloud. You're not leading prayers for others. You're just praying your prayer at the beginning of this year that we will be open to God and his call on our lives. So I invite you just to pray for that. Whatever God stirs in you, aloud or quietly, just pray, Lord, help me to be open to you.